You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And it's funny, I had a discussion today with Mike Adams about minds that are enslaved, and we both kind of agree it's still about half the country, although when I started doing this, I think it was about 90% of the country. So to you other 40%, welcome aboard, and we're glad you could join us tonight. We have a terrific show. In the first hour, we're going to be joined in just a moment by Joe Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report, and for my money, that is the best show on the radio. And there's a lot of really good ones. I mean, really good ones, but I think there is a notch above. And in the second hour, I've done two pre-records because, let's put it this way. It's hard to get someone to come on sometimes on Sunday night because of their schedule, especially if they live in a different time zone. And in particular with Gary Haven, who we have on the second half of that particular hour. Gary's in Haiti. And oh my, the story he tells, you're not going to want to miss it. And a lot of this ties back into the absolute criminality of the Clinton Foundation, and please, after you hear this, make it go viral. And then we have Ronnie McMullen on the first 30 minutes. He's a former talk show host. In fact, we're going to be actually sponsoring his product from now on. I love his product, GetTheTea.com. Be careful not to drink it too close to dinner. I'll be talking about that in just a minute. But Ronnie's a fascinating guy and has a real good command of the issues. And he'll be on with us at the beginning of the second hour for about 30 minutes. In the third hour, we have an old friend back, Sheila Zielinski, and Sheila has written a wonderful book on the power of prayer. And I think all of us Christians can hold hands here and say this with confidence. We may not be able to defeat the globalists at this time, you know, using regular conventional tactics, but they can't beat us spiritually. And if we think together, collective mentality through the power of Jesus Christ, we can move mountains. There's nothing we can't do to change what's going on. And for those of you that think that it's hopeless with Donald Trump, think again. Don't sell your Lord short. Also, the public opinion polls are fake. I'll tell you, no one's jumping off his ship except the corrupt politicians that want an excuse to stay on the gravy train of the free trade agreement corporate sponsors. That's all that's jumped ship. Anyway, we'll get into that with Joe in just a minute. But I want to let you know, this first hour, in part, is sponsored by my very good friend Steve Quayle at Renaissance Precious Metals. And I say it every week, how much closer do we have to get? What if those cyber attacks that had happened to the banks? Yeah, a lot of us would be stuff out of luck, right? Get your money out of there except for operating expenses. Get into precious metals like I have. I'm a happy customer of Steve. Give him a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Again, Steve Quayle's number, Renaissance Precious Metals. Converting your soon-to-be worthless cash to precious metals, 406-586-4842. And the best prepper in the country in my book is Bob Griswold. He's going to join us for a short segment next week. He's got something very important he wants to talk to us about. And I'd give Bob a call directly tomorrow because he'll tell you time is short. He called me yesterday and the day before. He's worried. We're all worried. He's never seen a time like this. I've never seen a time like this. You got to get ready. What you're missing, Bob has. Give him a call tomorrow, 1-800-627-3809, and you can catch his website at readymaderesources.com. And of course, you're going to need food, and I have a special relationship with Numana Food because I so much believe in them. They have my highest endorsement. If you haven't got enough food, I know you have some. I know I'm not talking to people that have 3 days food like FEMA says is the average. But if you need to get more, and I recommend at least 6 months, and if you can't get 6 months, get what you can. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And if you need to have your system cleaned out, if your diet hasn't been the best, if you're looking for a variety of really good health products, go to getthetea.com. And that's actually my friend Ronnie McMullen, who we're going to be interviewing in the second hour. Man, his insights on things are incredible, and his products are to match, and his products are growing in great popularity. Just about everybody I know in the independent media is advertising getthetea.com. Okay, that's it for the preliminaries. Now we clear the board for the rest of the hour with no commercial interruptions. And we're lucky enough to have Joe Hagman, and as I just said, it's one of the, if not the best show, it certainly is in the top three. And they draw more than CNN. They draw more than a lot of the Fox programming. I know, I've compared the numbers. I wrote an article on it a couple of years ago. So, Joe Hagman, welcome to the show. We're so glad you could be with us.
Thanks, Dave, for the fantastic introduction. It's great to be here, as always. We do have a lot to talk about, and wherever you want to start, let's get right into it.
Flip a coin, my friend. I was talking to Mike Adams today, and we did a short podcast, and it was like, where do we start? Flip a coin. I mean, there's so much. I think what's on my mind, and I want to get your reaction to this. I wrote an article that came out yesterday. I alluded to it today. I hit it between the eyes. I have inside sources that are matching what a lot of other people are saying with their sources. These three cyber attacks are a product of the Obama administration. They're running them out of Fort Meade. They put VPNs all the way into Moscow. They're leaving a digital footprint. And as a backup, they're using Space Command at Buckley Air Force Base and bouncing off of that. And they're framing the Russians. And they said the Russians won't probably even be able to tell until the rest of the world knows through exposure, kind of the Obama version of WikiLeaks. Wow.
Yeah.
Blame the Russians.
No, see,
we're going to have a pre... Yeah, I think we're going to go to war, martial law, cancel the election. I mean, Joe, take it where you will.
Well, I really do hope it does not come to that. And I must say that I'm a little slow on the uptake with the cyber attacks. As often as I can, I try to take at least one day and not open my computer or turn the news on. And that day was actually yesterday. I went the whole, most of the day. And I didn't learn about the cyber attacks till today, but what there is being said about the cyber attacks is it affected tens of millions of people. And they took down lots of popular websites, Twitter and Netflix. They call it one of the most massive and most sophisticated outages in history. They say it's unprecedented. And they also say that they have been continuing to investigate, where these DDoS attacks originated from.
But it's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, as you and I know, these we see the sites, I think it's Norse.com, that show these web of different cyber attacks, where they originate from to where they land. And one thing that's very interesting is with cyber attacks, they can be made to look like they came from any desired target. I mean, they could launch a cyber attack that would shut down, we'll say, the Capitol building in the White House, and make it look like it came from your direct personal computer with no problem. And they could do this with any computer around the world. So when it comes to, the evidence that they say that they have, it can be fabricated that easily, and we will never learn the absolute truth.
Oh, that's true. And they let's put it this way. We have the best cyber warriors in the world, and they let things through that they want to let through. And I'm talking about when China and Russia really do attack us, they control it.
Yeah,
and
Biden, you know, warning of cyber attacks just a few days ago. Other top military generals mentioning, you know, cyber attacks and the potential for the power grids to be hit and critical infrastructure and the vulnerabilities there. And, you know, here it comes, right, you know, just as they say it, and you know, very conveniently. And not only does the cyber attacks happen, as I said they happened, they have the boogeyman that they continue to vilify, and in doing so, they're continuing to push their narrative with Russia, and that ties into the election, ties into the proxy war in Syria, and into this warmongering we see today.
Well, that, there's no question, the boogeyman. I mean, it's so obvious that Hillary Clinton gets pinned on a WikiLeaks comment when she talked to New World Order Brazilian bankers, and she used the typical, hey, I got my private position, I love free trade agreements, I'm for you guys, but publicly I got to pretend like I'm not. I'm for hemispheric cooperation with you guys, but I'm a nationalist when I'm running for president. And, you know, Chris Wallace asked her the question, and what did she do? She pivoted right to, well, this is the Russians, and the Russians are hacking into our elections. Joe, let me ask you a question. The date today is October 23rd. The election is on November 8th. What exactly are the Russians hacking into?
Well, you know, the and this is, I'm glad you brought this up. The if we can take a step back, and I'll answer your question. Donald Trump was, I think, one of the first people to come out and say there is the potential for the elections to be rigged. After he made that statement, the president had come out and said that, you know, he was crazy. And he was, you know, didn't know what he was talking about. And anybody who talks about the election being rigged or the possibility of it being, you know, influenced one way or the other was basically crazy. Now you turn around and the same people who were saying Trump was crazy for mentioning election fraud, Hillary and Obama, are turning around and saying that it's possible for the Russians to hack the elections. Now, from what we understand about how the elections take place with the electronic voting machines, the votes are tallied in each local municipality, county, all the way up to the state, and then given to the federal level. So they would have to hack each individual machine in order to, you know, change the results of the election. But what's interesting is that they don't report on the fact that George Soros owns the voting machines in at least 16 states. And it's not who, how does the saying go? It's who counts the votes. That matters.
It doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. And I think, you know, if they really want to change, say, I mean, Soros said that if Trump could win the popular vote by landslide, but still lose the Electoral College, I think that would create a lot of unrest. I think that would create a lot of, I mean, you talk about the loss of credibility of the American people pertaining to the voting system. It would all be lost. So they might have to find a more creative way to rig the election for Hillary Clinton other than being so blatant about it.
I think you're absolutely right. And in fact, I had a conversation with someone who had an association with RSOF at the very highest levels at one time. And, you know, Joe, I didn't know this. Here's what he told me. And he's been real consistent in this message. But until he told me this several months ago and then reiterated it in a recent conversation, I did not realize this. RSOF has an actual division within themselves in which they monitor real-life trends. And they, I said, what's your reason for that? He goes, we got budget to maintain. He said, well, we got to know, you know, if we're going to have a program here in 6 months or 12 months, and if not, then we have to make a decision on where we're going to cut, what we're going to continue. I go, okay, it's a business. I get that. Well, what, the trends they're monitoring closely right now is, excuse me, who's for Trump? They really want to know, and they want to know what the trend is in other areas. And let me give you just a couple of things he said. One, they estimate that Trump right now has between 65 to 75% of the popular vote for the people most likely to vote. Yeah, that's right, 65 to 70%. Number two, they know about the chicanery going on with the electors. And let me go on the record and say this right now, you criminal electors. They have been offered inducements, enticements. I mean, God, should we be surprised? But also now, I talked to a Republican official, former Republican official, I should say, someone who I know well, and I said, I'd keep your name out of this. But they have talked to three electors. They were approached. They're Republican electors, and they were approached. Should Trump win in Arizona, da-da-da-da-da, and we'll do this, and we'll do that for you. And now these three are running scared because they're afraid that their names and addresses are going to get published. And just like the colonists did before the Revolutionary War, they chased the stamp collectors down the street, caught them, and tarred and feathered them. I think that's really appropriate if they don't vote the will of the people. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I think this election and the results will be very telling, will, I guess, raise a lot of questions by people who will want things to be changed. If Trump wins the popular vote, and let's say he does win by, you know, a margin that's 5% or higher, 5% to 30%, yet loses the Electoral College, you know, that would just be devastating. It would seem like the people and their voice and their vote have no meaning. And I'm pulling up real clear politics right now because they're up there. They have an Electoral College poll, and one thing that we see here, and I'm not sure how accurate this is. It's one of the only places I know where they have the poll. They have the Electoral College Clinton 262 to Trump 126, and Clinton 333 to Trump 205. And the breakdown of that, the last one was no toss-up states. So we've seen articles in the Washington Post and New York Times and other publications basically saying Hillary has already won. You know, it doesn't really matter at this point. There's nothing that, you know, anybody can do. That she has won the election. And I think this would have to be, you know, one of the last elections for things to be so badly. I think Trump mentioned it. I don't know if you saw the speech that was given the day after the debate. There was a dinner that they had Trump and Hillary kind of right next to each other. And at this dinner, Donald Trump made some statements. It was the Al Smith dinner. And folks, you can find that on the internet. And Dave, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you see it. Because he really, well, they say he roasted Hillary Clinton. It was, and if you go to HagmanReport.com, the transcript is on there also. I put an article up about this. But it's an annual fundraising dinner for Catholic charities for underprivileged children. And Donald Trump just, you know, really, it was very funny. But, you know, very interesting, too, to see them. So they seem kind of chummy this close to the election, and that, what, we're 15 days out. I see Trump signs all over the place. We see the crowds on YouTube, the live streaming events, plus the crowds that see him at events and rallies. We see the lack of crowds at Hillary Clinton rallies. It's more than obvious to anybody who's paying attention that Donald Trump has the vast majority of the American public support, and Hillary Clinton's support seems all manufactured, and the real supporters are far and few between. So if she does win this election, I think many people will start to change mentally, and it might lead to positive changes from people taking action.
Well, we have had a slow burn in the independent media, and let me explain what I mean by that. We have started the engine several years ago and slowly increased the speed over time. The people who have been awake and are all of a sudden going to wake up in a Hillary Clinton nightmare, it's going to be nightmare on Clinton Street, these people aren't going to have a slow burn, Joe. They're going to go from 0 to 60 overnight. That's the great unknown if this election's stolen. It's not what Hagman and Hodges and John B. Well, it doesn't matter what. We're not going to do anything. But I'm telling you, the people, when they realize the fraud, the criminality that we've had years to get used to, when they come to realize this all at once and they realize their future is screwed and so are their kids, I think they're going to go 0 to 60. Do you know, I don't know if I told you, I think I did tell you this. I've had so many conversations the last 3 days, Joe, I can't keep up with them. But do you know the New York Times called me and interviewed me? Did you know that?
Yeah, you did mention that. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but yeah.
Listen to this, Joe, and I want to get your reaction to this. The Washington Post called Mike Adams exactly 24 hours later and had the exact same questions. Let me say this for the benefit of the audience, and I'll get your response. They didn't want to know what I thought about Trump versus Clinton. They didn't want to know about the Clinton Foundation. They didn't want to know any of those things that are important to us. What they wanted to know was, did I know of groups that were going to have a violent backlash when Hillary is elected? And that's the way it was stated to me at first. When Hillary is elected, I said, you mean if? He changed his tone after that. Mike Adams got exactly the same thing. 24 hours apart.
Interesting.
And then, you know, Steve Quayle, God bless him for looking out for me and for Mike. He actually wrote to us this morning and said, you know, don't talk to these guys unless you can ask them one question for your question they ask you. I think that's actually very good advice. So I've had to be preemptive, and so have Mike. We've done a number of articles because this stuff is coming out next week, Joe, and you know what they're going to do with this. Hodges and Adams promoting violent revolution. Shoot people on sight if Clinton wins. I can just see the headlines right now.
Well, you know, Clinton can't even get people to come to her rallies or come out and vote for her. She probably would have a hard time getting people to even come after her. So, but no, you know, that kind of rhetoric and the twisting of words and I guess libel and slander, these are just tactics that Hillary Clinton uses. For those who have went through the WikiLeaks Podesta emails, I think we mentioned this on the show Friday. You know, in these emails, you read about all these different scandals, the scams, the criminality, the things that they talked about getting away with, the ways that they talked about doing it so they wouldn't be caught, knowing that they were wrong. There's emails in there that talk about Hillary actually deleting her emails. Nothing in those emails talk about what, you know, ideas they have about helping, you know, Americans, helping the economy, helping the jobs sector, helping, you know, anything that has any type of positive attribute. There is nothing in there of any kind like that. It is all about her. It is all about the scandals, the backroom deals, the pay to play, the mm-hmm. Clinton Foundation donations. You know, the
trail of bodies,
making sure that the speeches are the paid speeches are lined up, donor meetings, pleasing those donors, favors. I mean, it is just insane. And, you know, with these emails out, you would think that a news media would report the truth honestly to the American people, but they are completely compromised to the point where they are complicit in her crimes. And when this happens in history, as an example, this is a totalitarian dictatorship type regime. And if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, we are going to see what nations saw pre-World War II and in other nations that didn't lead to war but led to the fall of those nations and the you know, massacre of millions of people in the process.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with, I'm sure you recognize his voice, Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report, and this is the Hagman & Hodges Hour now here on the Common Sense Show, where either Joe or Doug or both will be joining us in the first hour. Well, let's just put it this way. This is what you're listening to, and you hear why I wanted to do an hour with the Hagmans every week, because the plethora of knowledge they bring in, and I happened to catch that part of your broadcast on Friday, and I thought what you guys covered there was fantastic. There is no concern for the American people. In fact, Joe, let me tell you this quick story. I got into it in a public place where someone was, these two ladies were just bashing Trump. And I turned to them, I said, ma'am, do you have kids? Oh, yeah, we have kids. Why are you asking? I said, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're a little bit loud here with your support of Hillary Clinton and your demeaning of Donald Trump. And have you paid attention to the Clinton criminality? Well, I've heard some things about it. I said, let me tell you something. Go home and read the Common Sense Show. And what? I said, yeah, commonsenseshow.com. And I said, and then look at your kids in the face and tell me if you can be a good parent when you're supporting such a sociopathic criminal who's morally bankrupt and the worst person we've ever had run for the office of the president. They wanted to hit me.
Yeah,
but I think that's what we need to say to all Democrats. How can you parent your kids to obey rules and vote for this witch?
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the what I was saying about the media, which plays into this a lot, you know, the media and TV, press, play on people's emotions. And unfortunately, we as human beings have human nature, which is flawed. And if we allow certain things like emotions or you know, like fear to rule our decision-making process, or whatever other emotion to rule our decision-making process, we are prone to, you know, we are impressionable, and we are prone to you know, influences of changing of perceptions. And people, they get brainwashed, and they think that, you know, what is told to them is right. And when we have a mainstream media that is complicit in the crimes, not only of covering up for Hillary Clinton, but continuing to protect the agenda of the elites with the Federal Reserve banking system, with, you know, the secret societies, the satanic element of all the evil in the world, you know, they don't tell us the truth about anything. They are the gatekeepers, you know, with 5% truth and 95% lies and propaganda. And so once we see and understand that, you know, the mainstream news media, how they influence people, and understand we cannot rely on them for anything, we can see how people who pay attention to that and buy into that can become so emotional. Because when you challenge those beliefs, you challenge a person's belief system, and that, you know, mentally screws up their mind, and they have these defense mechanisms, a fight or flight, that kick in, and they don't know what to do or how to reason. And that's why you see what, you know, the results you see.
I just recorded a podcast before I came on air, and I talked about the "you have nothing to fear but fear itself." People becoming discouraged because they're making the mistake of watching the mainstream media, who are quoting fake polls, and it's leading some of the Trump supporters to be hopeless. Listen, I think, Joe, the only way that Trump loses, short of an electoral corrupted vote on their end, is if people don't show up because they're discouraged. And that's what the mainstream media is trying to encourage. Your vote means nothing. Trump's not going to get elected. Are you kidding? Who's going to vote for a sexual molester? And some people are buying into that.
You know, yes, they are. And it's unfortunate. But I think, you know, with the intensity of this election, with, you know, the political correctness and the hate on both sides, and, you know, how many people that support Trump are doing so as a vote against Hillary, I bet, you know, a quarter of Trump supporters aren't just voting for Trump. They're voting against Hillary Clinton becoming president. And I think people are motivated, especially to vote for Trump. We see the enthusiasm inside of his events. As, again, the rallies, we were citing the rallies earlier. The social media, he's breaking records with getting enormous amounts of Facebook likes on a daily basis, and reaching, you know, massive amounts of people that are breaking records. He has the people, he has to turn down thousands of people at different rallies because, you know, 30,000-40,000 people are already there packing the stadium. I think the people are going to go out and vote for him. For Hillary, not so much. There's no enthusiasm there. You know, the only thing the campaign has done so far is run negative ads against Trump and runs damage control about how Hillary Clinton's not such an evil or bad person.
I know. You know, a lot of people predicted this. I did. I know you guys did. When the real campaign started after the conventions, my thought was, how can she run a campaign? She hasn't accomplished anything. Her life in public service has been an unmitigated disaster. So how can she campaign? And I thought, well, she'll just have to sling mud. That's all she can do. And that's all she's done.
Yeah, and that's, you know, with the little time we have left, 2 weeks and a few days left, I think we're going to continue to see much of the same. She's going to, at this point, she feels she can stay under the radar. The debates are over. You know, you have events that she has coming up that she sends surrogates to. We see the, you know, what's going on with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, who's released just very damaging videos about voter fraud, about the violence at Trump events. And remember, I was on your show a week before the Donald Trump rally in Chicago, and I had some intelligence that there was going to be something that was happening at that rally.
I remember that.
And sure enough, you know, they canceled the rally, and then you had me back on, and we talked about it briefly. But the person who is responsible for that, Creamer, I think his name is, was him and another man were let go after it was shown on video that they were the ones inside the Hillary campaign who went there to start the violence. They even talked about how they use homeless people and mentally ill people and anybody they could. And they paid people, they flew people in to different cities, gave them stay at a hotel and money to start the violence at Trump rallies purposely to turn around and blame Donald Trump and his rhetoric. They have no end of the dirty tricks that they will use in order to make Donald Trump look bad. I mean, look at the sexual allegations of the women against Trump. You have Trump, you know, running for president now, and no women come out and said anything against him until, you know, WikiLeaks started releasing the emails 2 or 3 weeks before the election. And, you know, you get 6, 7 women, and there's contradictions in their stories. Some of them are proven wrong. One lady worked for the Clinton Foundation as a secretary. The stories are full of holes. And you see how the media has been working in order to try to sway the public and public perception into getting Hillary Clinton in power. And I think the powers that be need Hillary Clinton to stay in power. The news media wants her in power so they can get their funding. Congress wants things to continue as usual so they can get their money. That's why they want Hillary Clinton to remain in office, because Donald Trump could be a shock to the system. And if he does get in, I believe there will be, you know, a war started or some kind of economic doom that is created in order to make him look bad. But I'd rather roll the dice with Donald Trump than have a known murderer, felon, thief, and liar in the White House.
Yeah. Amen to that. I remember when you came on and made that prediction about Chicago. I remember it clearly. And not only that, someone sent me a picture. It was awesome. Bill Ayers, of all people, was at Ground Zero when all heck was breaking loose. Bill Ayers, the former, well, present communist, head of the Weatherman Underground, did jail time. The man who launched Barack Obama's political career in his Hyde Park, Chicago home, Bill Ayers, was there. He still visits the White House. I mean, I couldn't make up a script
domestic
like that.
Terrorists.
Yeah,
domestic
I could make up a script
Bill
like
Ayers.
That. You should have seen the hate mail I got when I ran the story and put the picture in it. And by the way, you mentioned voter fraud. I have someone I know, and I almost stepped on myself because if I start stalking geography, I could get in trouble. But I have someone who is had firsthand exposure to massive voter fraud here in Arizona, and I mean massive. And I'm going to advise him here. In fact, he's probably listening right now. Distribute this to other media outlets beside the Common Sense Show. I want to wake up tomorrow. But Joe, it's incredible. what's going on all across the country. There are 7 million Democrats who are registered to vote in two adjacent states. De Blasio has been caught saying that they're going to bus around voters through New York City.
Yeah. And the thousands of absentee ballots that come in with unaccounted for, with no reason or no real point of origin provable. It happens all the time, and we're seeing, you know, from Virginia to North Carolina to Washington State to, you know, in 2012 there was voter fraud, especially in one specific area in Ohio. And if I remember correctly, you'll have to look this up to be sure, because I'm not sure of the facts on this, but I do know that there was overwhelming numbers of voters for Barack Obama at almost like 100% in one district. And then there was people who were on the registers who voted who were not alive, and other anomalies. And we've seen this happen before, but there are... the videos with O'Keefe again, you know, people tearing up voter registrations, people tearing up ballots. But one positive note, you know, here in Pennsylvania where I live, and also in Texas, and I believe Florida also had record numbers of voter registrations. And in Pennsylvania, you had over 100,000 people change their status from Democrat to Republican. So, as much as they're, you know, the shenanigans are going to continue to try with the ballots and with the registrations and whatnot, I believe the people are going to go out and vote. And, you know, if that means anything, there is a chance. And I guess, you know, again, we come back to the Electoral College. And I think that they, you know, Trump, one thing they made a big deal of, and Joe Scarborough of Morning Joe, I was surprised. I saw him really defending Trump when he was asked about would he concede the election if the results were, you know, against him. And all Trump said was, I would have to look at it first, and then I would, you know, make my decision. Well, the media turns around and spins that and says, you know, if Trump loses, he won't, you know, he won't concede, he won't give up. And that's not at all what he said. And we, yeah, you know, this is a pattern of behavior that we continue to see with the media bashing Trump.
He should have been more direct.
People need to see through this.
Trump should have been more direct. He should have said, you know, Democrats are known for cheating. Hillary's the biggest cheater. Her track record proves it. And we'll wait and see on election day. And if it's a fair election and I lose, well, I'll congratulate her. That's the kind of thing he should have said. He left it too nebulous and open for interpretation. But you know what? It might not make any difference, Joe, because we know how much they lie. Let me throw something at you that has crossed my desk. Actually, okay. My earpiece. And get your reaction to it. I was asked a question by, let's just put it this way, high up in the alphabet soups at one time. Why was Justice Scalia killed? And I, you know, straightened my collar and tried to give a very official-sounding answer. I said, because he was opposed to environmental radicalism and had basically told Obama to take it and stuff it. And who else could have arranged for his marshal not to be present when he was suffocated with a pillowcase? And it was made to even look like a message killing to everybody else. And he said, oh, that Dave might be like number 5 on the list. And I said, well, let's cut to the chase. What's number 1? And he said, this presidential election could very well go to the Supreme Court, as did Al Gore and George W. Bush, and Obama wanted that fifth seat. He wanted that fifth seat so they would pull the election out for Hillary by a 5-4 vote. It was their way of covering all bases.
You know, there's been interesting information that has come out of the Podesta emails and WikiLeaks dealing with the Supreme Court, some of which talks about how the Clinton aides and staff talk about how they were able to intimidate Justice John Roberts on the Obamacare vote.
Yep.
Other email refers to wet work, and some have tied that to a series of stories and the timing to Justice Scalia. Now, he was pro-Second Amendment. He was everything that they despise, for the most part. But what you're saying is that they saw the potential for a legal battle for this election this far in advance, that that was the reason that they got rid of Scalia, or one of the reasons?
Yes. The number one reason, according to this individual, he said that they had hoped that Obama would be able to get a moderate Democrat through the Senate confirmation hearing, but he would still enjoy a 5-4 margin on the Supreme Court. And he said that could have been the difference between Hillary winning and Hillary losing if it goes to the Supreme Court. Now, what's interesting about that, he told me, he said, if you think you and I are the only ones that have had this discussion, you're kidding yourself. And I said, how far does it go? He goes, I guarantee you, your Senator John McCain knows this. He says, I guarantee you, many of the top committee heads in Congress and the Senate know about it. And some of the rest of these people who haven't been talking about it have guessed it. And I thought about it, and I said, it's painfully obvious, because the court right now is split 4-4, 4 liberal, 4 conservative. And he's absolutely right. As I started thinking about that, I had just an aha moment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. We are very familiar with the Clinton body count. We know that there are dozens of bodies connected with, that died mysteriously, that were associated with Hillary Clinton. We have talked to Larry Nichols. He's been on our show. I think you had him on your show.
No, we haven't had Larry. Yeah.
You haven't had Larry on?
I'm talking to you guys because I do want to get Larry on.
Yeah, he was a former Clinton insider who has talked about the things that he has done and the things he was told to do and what he's seen inside the Clinton machine, as well as, you know, a number of Secret Service, ex-Secret Service agents and family confidants have come out to talk about how, you know, Hillary's temperament is terrible, the words that she uses, the way she treats people, how she is just, you know, basically a crazy woman. And I'm not trying to be mean, but to sum it all up, from what other people have said, and a number of credible people have said, she is just completely, you know, evil and mean. And one thing, you know, another thing we saw, you know, people say she's a witch. They say that for a reason. There was an email she wrote that she writes about sacrificing a chicken in her backyard to Moloch. Moloch was the Old Testament deity that people sacrificed their children to. And a person like that is going to be president and running for president, and they wield, you know, the Clintons stayed together for a reason. They wield the power that they do because they stayed together, because she remained in politics and was given this different seats of power that she maintained, even though she was a failure, you know, as Secretary of State, even though her tenure there was scandal-ridden, you know, $6 billion went missing, 4 Americans died in Benghazi, the Arab Spring started. It doesn't matter. There is no accomplishments, and that will never matter. She was given the, you know, the resume, if you will, to run now after, you know, Obama was promised the presidency in 08 when he was running against Hillary in the primary. And they went to Bilderberg, and they disappeared for a few days. When they came out, they decided Obama was going to be the Democratic nominee, and Hillary wasn't. Now they're returning the favor, making sure she wins the presidency. And, you know, are they going to be successful? As much as I want to say no, and I know that God can do things, and you know, anything's possible, but if they have their way, yes, she'll be president, even with no public support.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a show sometime on the Clinton presidency. But I've alluded to it in some of the things I've written, Joe, but I can't bring myself to even think that way. I don't think mentally right now I'm prepared to go to that deep, dark place. It's just, and I'm not,
I've been there.
I'm not trying
dark.
To be melodramatic. I mean,
No, I've been there. You know, and I think this is good for us to talk about this. It's not going to be the end of the world. It could lead to it, and it might seem that way. Things are definitely going to change for the worse. We, as conservatives, as Christians, as constitutionalists, as people who like freedom, are and will be on the chopping block. I mean, we already were, but that's going to intensify. Gun owners, all that opposition to these groups are going to intensify. We'll continue to be labeled. We'll be, you know, extremist. We'll have our internet shut off. We're going to go through it. But that's going to happen one way or another, because the Bible tells us clearly that all who believe in Jesus shall suffer persecution and go through tribulation, and that we should be joyous in tribulation when that happens for our faith's sake. But, you know, we're coming to a head. You know, there's a tipping point that I think we've reached.
I think you're nailing it right on the head. Before we continue with our last segment, Joe, let's take a moment and talk about your dad's book a little bit. How people can get a copy. And I mean, I can tell people right now, you can go to my website, Stained by Blood, lower right-hand corner, click it on, take you right to the order page.
Yeah.
You have anything you want to add to that?
Well, Stained by Blood is a great book that my father wrote just this year. It is a personal story. For people who don't know, it's a story about how he became a private investigator. He worked in insurance, and he had a tragic murder happen in our family. I think it was the year I was born, and that might be wrong on that, but his uncle was murdered, was gruesomely murdered, and the police never found a suspect. Now, my father writes this book as him and his partner, as private investigators, go through years of investigation, and they find the killer, and he is brought to justice and in prison. And there is a lot more to it, the discovery of satanic ritual abuse and other fascinating twists and turns that are in the book Stained by Blood, and stainedbyblood.com. You can go there. You can go to Hagman and Hagman.com or HagmanReport.com.
Okay, Stained by Blood, and it's also available on the CommonSenseShow.com right hand corner. Wow, we've covered a lot of territory. I suppose. Well, let me do this, Joe. I don't want to just. The election's so important, but it's easy to become all consumed with it. What else is crossing your path in the Hagman and Hagman Report?
Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that, because there is something, a few things I'm looking at. And one of them, if you go to the White House website, you will find an executive order that was done about a week ago, and it deals with I can't find it at the moment here. It deals with the space weather, preparing the country or nation for a space weather event, where it talks about preparation of the power grid and other critical infrastructure areas for the possibilities of geomagnetic storms and CMEs and solar flares, which, you know, we've heard about in the book one second after the threat that the solar flare could cause, and how it could, you know, damage power lines or the power grid and basically render everything unusable for a long period of time. So they've put that into place. And then, but there's also something else that came out, and it is about extremism. And there's a PDF on this, and it is the 2016 Strategic Implementation Plan, Empowering Local Partners on Violent Extremism. local partners to prevent violent extremism in the United States. It's from the White House. It came out in October this month. And it talks about a number of things that they're planning on doing between DHS, the White House, as well as expanding their private partnerships in this, what they call the dangerous and persistent current environment in the United States. They talk about how violent extremism has progressed and violent extremist threats continue to evolve, and that they will get worse. And they talk about empowering local stakeholders at the local level. And then they really get into some interesting stuff, but that's one of the things I've been looking on. And we know that during this election cycle, that so much has been swept under the rug and done, you know, behind our back, and we never see, it never sees the light of day. And it's very important, because we know how much news goes on when there's not an election cycle. And the whole news cycle now is all election. So there's a lot of stuff going on that we have, not seen. But, this is one of those
things. What do you think they're planning to do about this extremism? You think it's directed at the independent media? And what do you anticipate them doing about this?
You know, one thing that, it is in a way, because they talk about things that aren't Islamic related, you know, suicide bombing, extremism. They talk about radicalization, and they talk about using research into social networking to find all forms of violent extremism and to find people who are going through the process of radicalization. They talk about the role of the internet in the radicalization process and the recruitment process, and they're starting to examine behaviors that are common during the radicalization process when people are being mobilized to violence. They're looking at what motivates individuals, and they have coordinated analytic materials and enhanced governmental capabilities, I'm reading from the document, that show behavior indicators or precursor activities that puts you on a list, basically. And then, you know, you're further investigated from there. And this is a 18-page document, and I've skimmed through the whole thing, but only really read about 5 pages. So, you know, there's some stuff in there, and there's always Department of Defense initiatives. There's always Homeland Security guidances that are released that talk about these things. Domestic extremism is the alternative media. It is anything that is against their agenda of submitting and obeying what they say goes.
Well, so it's basically the thought police and the speech police. And
yes,
that is going to be directed at us, no question. You know, I guess I should change my name right now to Abdul Hajiz, because I'll be accused of radicalizing the Common Sense Show audience. Abdul Hajiz. I'll think of a name for you down the road here.
I'll keep my name. But you know what? One of the things that's interesting is how, you know, we've gotten to this point, and we see a social justice movement that is anything but social justice. And we've seen how these terms in the vocabulary have been completely co-opted, and they mean different things now. People believe socialism is a good thing. There's this generation of people that believe socialism is a great thing, but have no idea of, you know, what the number of millions of people that have died due to socialism. But we have this hate speech, this culture of safe spaces and triggering the snowflake generation. And this is one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen, because they have created a generation of people who are offended by other people's freedom of speech and opinions, to the point where they want to silence those opinions that offend them. But their opinions are supreme and can't be questioned. And you talk about when things go, you know, in a very bad way, you talk about clashes and wars and civil wars and conflict and chaos and unrest. The how it's going to start, and this is where it's going to come from. They've created a generation of people who are so self-absorbed, they have no idea what reality is. And that is very troublesome.
Well, of course, the Democrats are known for rules for thee, but not for me. And this is what we've seen repeatedly with this group. Well, Joe, we just got a couple of minutes left. Let's give the listening audience the smorgasbord for what's coming up on the Hagman and Hagman Report this week, which airs from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And so what do you guys have on tap? Who's coming on?
Well, I'm pulling up the schedule right now. Every Tuesday we have Stan Deo on. He's on the last hour. And starting this week, every Wednesday in hour number 3, we have Pastor David Langford. And he is, we call him America's pastor. He's the pastor for the Hagman and Hagman Report. And Ted Breuer is on Friday. And there are a few other people coming on. And I apologize. I cannot access. We have an interactive schedule that my fault. It's an online document. And it will not let me access it for some reason. I don't know. But we do have a lot going on this week, tomorrow, on our website, HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com. There will be a write-up about the upcoming week and the guests that we have on. So check those websites and check Hagman Report Daily for news, content, information, my father's reports. I've actually written a few stories this last week, and we're going to continue to do that. HagmanandHagman.com is our show website, so check that for
send those over, Joe, and we'll put them up on the Common Sense Show, too.
Well, sure. I appreciate it very much.
Let's get that out there, yeah, because, I mean, if we're going to have a part-time marriage, we better really act like we're married.
Yeah, very true.
Well, I want to tell the listening audience about the show we're going to have in 2 weeks. And you're invited to the party, as is your dad. And first hour, Hagmans and Hodges. Second and third hour, Steve Quayle with the Hagmans and Hodges. And I'll just be here to push the buttons and make sure we're doing okay. And what we're going to talk about is the pre-election. Let's put it this way. If the election hasn't been canceled by November 6th, if the election's canceled, there may not be any show, folks, and it'll be beyond our control. But we're going to have a pre-election show on November 6th, and you're not going to want to miss that. Steve Quayle, Doug and Joe Hagman, and, of course, yours truly, just to facilitate. I can't wait. It's going to be really cool.
I'll definitely be there, and I do believe the election will be happening, so I think that show will be fantastic.
I was going to ask you, that was my last question, so you think...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the minority. You know, I'd go to Vegas and put down money if I were you, because if you win, it's a big payday.
Well, you know, if I had some money, that might be something I would do. But no, I do think unless there is a Hillary Clinton has some kind of health problem unforeseeable accident, there'll be an election, in my opinion.
Exactly. Okay. Well, unless they feel she can't win, then they pull the plug, too. There's another possibility. Anyway, you hear that music, and you know what that means, Joe.
Well, it's time for me to go. Dave, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Fantastic show, and we will talk with you later.
Okay. The Hagman & Hagman Report, ladies and gentlemen, 7 to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on Global Star Radio Network. Stay tuned for Ronnie McMullen and Gary Haven.